Well, it's good to be with you, young people, and I'm glad we've come along to share the word of the Lord with you. And I thank Colin for asking me along, and his son David, I don't know who put my name forward, but I thank you for having me along tonight, and I trust we know the Lord speaking to us and blessing us as we hear God's word. This week I'm just back from a couple of weeks in Kos, in Greece. We're on honeymoon there, and Colin was mentioning about Grace being with me. It's hard to get used to a little bit having a wife. Somebody saying that you have a wife, it's a little bit different, makes a change in your life. But the Lord has blessed us together, even being away and coming back to Northern Ireland. And this is one of the first meetings in the church, as it were, I've been able to take part in since we've been back. So trying to get motivated again and get back into the Lord's work again. But we trust that you are going on with the Lord. That's an important thing. We need to be going on with the Lord. We need to know the Lord. And I just challenge you, just at the opening this evening, young person, and anybody here, whatever age you are, do you know the Lord at this stage in your life? We want to look at John 17, John's Gospel 17. And it's a wonderful prayer of the Lord's before he went to the cross, before he went to die for his people on the cross. It's a wonderful comfort for those of us who are saved. If you've ever read it before, I'm sure you've experienced that as you've read it. If you haven't, I encourage you to study it, even when you go home later or this week. It's a wonderful prayer, these final hours coming up to where the Lord went to the cross, just before he went to die for his people. But John 17, and verse 6, and we read, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them thee, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." We'll leave God's word there at the end of that reading. And we pray together. We want to pray together now, but let's pray that the Lord will apply his word to our hearts tonight, and it will be lived out in our lives. And that others looking upon us in school and university or workplace, wherever we are in our lives day by day, that others will see that Christ is in us and the Word of God is in us. Let's talk to the Lord now. Heavenly Father, come before thee once again. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come together to fellowship this Lord's Day evening. And we thank you, Lord, for all the mercies. We thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for all of the riches that are found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we see, we look back through past weeks. We look back through past months and even over the past year. And Lord, we know that you have been there Those of us who are saved, we know that you have been with us. Even though those times that crop up in our lives, we might feel it empty at times, discouragements and trials, we know, Lord, that you brought us through them. And we pray tonight, Lord, as we open your word, as you look at this wonderful passage that the Lord Jesus prayed, even to the Father, just before he went to the cross, we pray, Lord, that there will be souls here that will know the Lord. We've been singing that chorus about knowing Jesus. There is no greater thing. And we pray, Lord, that tonight there will be those who will know Jesus tonight. We pray that thou wilt speak. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt challenge hearts through thy word by the power of the Almighty Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. There's a great challenge to be different in the world, young people, isn't there? No matter where we are in life, and no matter where we are in the world, we always find that there's a great challenge to be different. Especially if we're going to live for the Lord, we have to be different, don't we? In verse 11, it's very clear. The Lord points it out himself in his prayer. Verse 11 says, "Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." He's speaking to the Father, he's praying to the Father, and he's saying, "I'm about to go out of the world. I'm about to go to the cross. I'm about to die and leave my disciples here behind. I'm going back to heaven." But he's saying, these are still in the world. But notice in verse 16, he says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And if we're going to stand out for Christ, we're not to be of the world. We're going to be in the world. We're going to live amongst people. We meet people every day. But we're not to be of the world. We're not to be partakers of the world. We are to be separate from the world, separated in Jesus Christ. But the key verse there I want to look at tonight is verse 15. And really to launch off from that verse, the Lord prays, "I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil." Christ didn't pray here, "Father, they'll never be able to cope. My people will never be able to stand for the faith. Take them back to heaven. They're not going to be able to live on this earth for me and be a witness for me." No, he didn't say that. But he said, "Keep them from the evil." You see, he wants us at this present time, obviously, he wants us to remain in the world. We're all here in this meeting tonight. He wants us to be here at this present time. We're in the world, but he does not want us to be involved with the world, of the world. He says, "Keep them from the evil." That is to keep them from the evil one, the devil. Or keep them from the evil deeds, the things that are evil in the world. So the Lord, he realized there was pressure upon his people. He realized, you young people, the Lord realizes. He realizes there is pressure upon you in the world as you live in the world. Of course there is. And the Lord knew that. He realized that. He knew that the world, having hated him, was obviously, of course, going to hate his people, because they're going to hate Christ. They hate his word. They were going to hate those who would profess to be followers of him. And those of us who are saved, the world will hate us because they hate Christ. But Christ knew the tactics of the devil. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, we read of the temptations that the devil set before him. The Lord knew the tactics of the devil. And he knew that the devil can be a hindrance towards God's people. He acknowledged that there are many out doing the devil's work throughout society. They're trying to trip God's people up at every opportunity that he can. But he knows, the Lord knows the influence that is pressed upon us, even in our lives. In this age that we live in this generation today, he knows the pressure that is pressed upon us. And he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Remember that little verse that's found in Hebrews. That he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows our troubles. He knows our weaknesses. And he can come alongside us by the power of the Spirit and help us in our lives. But there's many influences that are in life. And I just challenge you that with this question as we start off, who is choosing what way you live? can ask this year after year after year. We need to challenge ourselves. Who is choosing how we live our lives? What influences are being sucked into our minds? What influences are coming into our minds that cause us to live a certain way? You see, we need to be careful what type of influence we let into our minds, because that can portray as to how we live in this world. You think of the media today, there's different things come under the media. You think of TV, movies that are on the TV, and various different things through newspapers and magazines. How do those things influence us? Now, none of those things are wrong in themselves, but it's what is portrayed on those things, on TV, it's what is portrayed in parts of the newspapers and magazines, different things like that. What sort of things are presented before our eyes? What sort of things go in through our ears? What sort of things get into our minds that cause us to go in the wrong direction? We can be influenced by friends, of course, can't we? Friends is also a big influence. And we need to be careful what friends we hang about with. Family can also be an influence, can't it? We learn a lot from our families. I'm young still. I'm 23. And I've just left home. But I know, going by grace, I have different characteristics from my parents. We might have different habits from our parents, every one of us. We might have similar personalities. We might have goals. We might have desires like them. Could be. Might want to follow a particular career path because they've done it. That can happen in various families. I'm reminded when I was in college for a couple of years. It's good to see Paul along tonight. I didn't know he was coming. I wish he didn't. he would have been there. He might remember this. But I can't remember which year it was, but we were sitting in homiletics class, which was the preaching class, and they were all going on about how different fellas can have the same gestures and speak the same way as their minister from the church that they came from. And I piped up, as students do, you know, you have to have your little say. And I said, well, my dad's a minister, and this was Mr. Elliott I was speaking to, and he knows Dad and our Dara there. And I said, well, you know, if I have the same sort of gestures as him and speak the same way, how can we really help that? Well, he said, sin is also inherited. What he meant was, you have to deal with sin, so you're going to have to deal with the way you get on like your dad. So there's various different things that we can pick up from family members. But that is what I'm getting at there, is there are sinful influences that can come in to our lives. There are sinful things that are presented before us in the world. And we need to be careful that we don't let them into our minds, because there are consequences for our actions. We must remember that. People don't want to realize that. They don't want to admit that. They want to live in a bubble of their own and just do whatever they think they should do. But there are consequences for our actions. We must remember that. And if we are to avoid the results that sin brings, we need to be able to analyze the influences that come upon us and the pressures that are always presented before us. And I want to encourage you, just first of all, to be right in the Word of God. Be right in the truth more directly. Look at verse 17. The Lord prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. That's what the Lord is praying to the Father for his disciples, for his people. He's saying, sanctify them through thy truth. And he says, thy word is truth. He's saying, set them apart. Set them apart. Isn't that what we're called to do? If we're to step out in Christ, we're to be set apart continually into the image of the Son, Jesus Christ. But we have been given a mind, haven't we, to determine what is right and wrong. And with our minds, we act on what we decide to do or what opinions we form. But, you know, through our decisions, we must be careful that we don't make decisions and we don't form opinions that is just what we think, because that's how the ungodly form their opinions and make their decisions. We must get to the Word of God. If we are to be different in this world, in this generation, in this age, this time that we are living in, if we are to be a different people, a people living to glorify God, We must form our opinions and our views on the Bible. We must get back to the Bible, the biblical principles, the biblical guidelines, the teaching that is presented in the Bible. And we are to be guided through the Bible by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is our teacher. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures. Familiar little verse. Search the Scriptures. And we need to be aware then of the Bible's teachings and the warnings, the advice which it gives to us. Paul warned the church like Galatia about the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19-21. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we read in that little epistle, that letter, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test the spirits, analyze the spirits, whether they are of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things. Again, the same sort of word. Test, analyze all things. Hold fast to that which is good. That's what we want to do, isn't it? To hold fast to that which is good. We need to stick close to the Word of God. I always like giving Joseph as an example. Remember Joseph when he was sold into Egypt? I'm not turned to Genesis, but it's found there in Genesis, of course. Joseph was sold into Egypt by his brothers, and he became the overseer of Potiphar's house. And over several days, Potiphar's wife kept coming to him and saying, lie with me, lie with me. And she kept coming to him day after day, morning and evening. The temptation kept being pressed upon him. Don't we find that in our lives? Morning and evening. I'm reminded of the story of David as well. Goliath came out morning and evening, kept presenting himself before the children of Israel. The giant was there. The trouble was there. Then David come along, and by God's help, he defeated the giant. But we face these trials. We face these temptations. And the world would have said in regards to Joseph, well, just go on. Go on ahead. It doesn't matter. It's only going to be a few minutes. It's only going to last for a little while. Nobody's going to worry. Nobody's going to say boo. What does it matter? It'll all be forgotten about in a few days, in a few weeks, in a few years. It'll not matter. But you know, Joseph didn't give in to the temptation. Now, he ended up in prison for 2 years. But he was exalted to be Prime Minister of Egypt. And people would say, as I just said a minute ago, well, what's the point in spending 2 years in prison? Why not just go ahead with the temptation and it'll all be over with and done with? Well, the Lord exalted Joseph. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:20, for them that honour me, I will honour. But that verse goes on to say, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And that's what I'm saying to you. You must make the right decisions in life. Make the right decisions. Think before you take action. But you know, there's a comfort for those of us who are saved tonight. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. We come across temptations. I've come across many, many temptations in the past few years, towards the later years of my teens and the middle of my teens. Faced many great temptations in the mind, things that you saw in the world. But you know, the Word of God says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You see, by God's grace, by His help, by His favour, we can overcome those challenges that we face. We can overcome those trials that come upon us. But you know, you who are not saved tonight, you need to come across this hurdle, your original sin, the sin that we have all inherited through Adam's fall. You need to stop and you need to think and you need to do a U-turn and repent of your sins. And you need to look to Jesus Christ. The Bible says there in that familiar verse, I'm sure you remember it, in Sunday school or children's meeting, learning this verse in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Sometimes we rattle off these verses and we don't really think about it, but think about it tonight. If we confess our sins, If we confess our sins before God, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins. That's the wonderful mercy of God that we can only find in Jesus Christ. Because He has shed His blood, He has the power to cover all of our sins. I wonder, will you trust Christ tonight? So analyze the influences that surround us, whether they are of God. We want to be influenced by the Word of God. We want to be influenced by the things of God. We want to be taught of the Spirit. Do you want to be taught of the Spirit tonight? I trust that you do through His Word. As we read God's Word, depend upon the Spirit to teach you. John 16 and verse 13 says, "Howbeit," the Lord again, He was speaking to His disciples, "when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Whatever you do through the day, walk in the Spirit. So leave that little thought with you. Be right in the truth of God's Word. But what about being real in our devotion? The disciples made different mistakes, didn't they? But then they're people. We make different mistakes as well, don't we? I'm sure you've already realized that in your life, that you have made different mistakes. I have made many, many mistakes. But you look at verse 8. One thing the disciples did do, the Lord prays, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." And he says back in verse 6 even, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." What the disciples did do was they kept the word of God. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that He was the Son of God, that He had came to redeem them, to deliver them from their sins. And they kept the word of God. They continued steadfastly in the faith. That's a wonderful thing. Are you continuing steadfastly in the faith? Are you keeping God's word? Are you having that desire to walk with God through the word of God? Ask yourself some questions about life, about this generation even that we're in. We are here. We are in this generation. We are living at this time. We can ask ourselves, why in the world am I here? Why are we here? Where am I in the world? What place am I in the world? What purpose is there even for me existing? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And verses 6 to 7, just a couple of verses. And the writer here, he's writing here about the natural process of the environment. He says in verse 6, "The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers came, thither they return again." And he's just describing the cycle of the environment, the natural things that are in their environment. And towards the end of chapter 2 and the verse 15, after speaking about striving for greatness in the world, he says at the end of verse 15 in chapter 2, "Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity." That's the conclusion. That's the ending, the result that he came to. It's all vanity. It was all a vapor to him. Everything just vanished away. And that's a simple truth. Remember this. Everything in this life is only temporal. The only thing that will last is the Church of Jesus Christ. And all that Christ has done to deliver His people from their sins. The finished work of the cross, where the shed blood of Christ was shed on that cross. That's the only thing that will be ever worth praising. That's a wonderful thing. But everything else in this world is only temporal. I reminded just at the beginning of the week, I had to come home from honeymoon on Monday morning. Maybe I shouldn't say this, make it a bit emotional, trying to be strong. But I came back and I had to come back because my grandfather passed away when we were away on honeymoon. But you know, it reminded me as I looked at him, and even just thinking about it, praise God he was saved. He's in heaven, he's alive. That's a wonderful thing. But I just looked at him and I thought, and thinking over the past weekend, you know, if you don't know Christ, what else is there? Job spoke those words, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." That day when we're lying, our bodies are lying in a coffin, what have we? We have nothing. We go out into God's eternity. If we don't know Christ, we have nothing. That is the only thing. We're just a drop in the ocean, and we wonder sometimes, what are we before an almighty God? He is one who is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is all-present. We, you are just creatures made out of the dust. But you know, it's a wonderful thing that God, who is holy and perfect, he can lift us out of our sin and give us victory over death and give us eternal life. You think of Abraham, we'll not turn to Hebrews 11, but you know that great chapter of faith. But it speaks of Abraham and it says that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, a wicked place, a place that was full of idolatry. But God saw fit to save that individual and call him out. And of course he married Sarah, and of course they, out of their seed, Jesus Christ would come, the nation of Israel would come, and Christ would come, the Messiah. That's a wonderful thing that God called Abraham out of that dark place in that world at that time, and he used Abraham to create a great nation where the Messiah would eventually come. Abraham's heart was steered away from idolatry towards the paths of God's righteousness. He walked with the Lord. He walked with God. He put his trust in God and he waited for the coming Messiah who would come to bear away his sins. He was serious about his devotion. That's what we're still thinking about. He was serious about his faith even. He was devoted to the Lord. He was devoted to following after his will, not his own ideas. He didn't want to go his own way. The Lord steered him from sin and caused him to walk after him. A.W. Tozer said, "The man that believes will obey." You come with an obedient heart, or you come believing in God's word even, and you trust it, you depend upon it, you want to obey it. But maybe there's one here that has made a false profession in time past. A.W. Tozer went on to say, "Failure to obey is convincing proof that there is no true faith present." In other words, if you look at somebody and their way of life just doesn't add up to what a true Christian is meant to be, there is obviously no true faith present. There is obviously no root in their lives grounded in Jesus Christ. If they're behaving like the world, there's obviously no root. There's no faith in Jesus Christ. What does that do tonight? Does that describe you? You're just wanting to get away from Christian privileges. You're just wanting to go in the opposite direction. You don't care what I'm saying tonight. You're thinking, "Mister, I just can't wait to get out of here." Maybe you don't care about what anybody else says in this church, and you're just waiting for the opportunity to get out and go, and you're bluffing your way, making yourself look like a Christian. Be warned. Your sin will find you out. Are you right with God tonight? Last little thought, and I want to encourage you here, being ready in our service. I want to encourage you to give yourselves to the Lord. We think of missionary service, but we think even of our hearts, our willingness, our own personal times that we have with the Lord, our own every day that we go out to work. Are we willing in our hearts? Are we always rejoicing in the Lord? Are we offering God of our service? Being ready involves us being willing to follow the leading of God wherever He would have us to go. And I know, as I look around, there's different ages here, but some younger ones, and you're probably coming to the end of school, you're thinking about it, and you're wondering, where am I going to be going? What is going to be happening? What career am I going to follow? But we need to be obedient. We need to get to the Word of God. We need to pray to the Lord. And we need to talk to the Lord and ask Him to direct us through His Word. And even through circumstances and the burdens that He gives us in our hearts, those are things that help us to know the will of God, just in passing. But being different from the world will involve shutting down our self way of thinking, dying to self ambitions. Even just in our own hearts and our minds. It will involve shutting down to self-desires and our own motives and having our hearts completely steered towards God's ways and not our ways. Look at Romans chapter 1 or Romans 12 and verses 1 to 3. Or we'll read a couple of the verses at least. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Where Paul says to the church at Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not speaking of our logical service. And I say this to you tonight, seeing that Christ has gone to the cross and He has shed His blood to cover the sins of His people, isn't that logical that we give of our service to Him? That from our hearts, of course, first place, that we are willing, before we're even asked, or before we're even challenged with the Word of God, we're willing to accept what the Word of God says. We're willing to accept the will of God as to where He'd have us to go, outwardly. I trust that we are. It says in verse 2, be not conformed. It's all tying into what we're thinking about, being different from the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's your answer. Read through those verses of Scripture. I trust that they will encourage you. But give of yourselves to the Lord. Be willing to follow His leading. Look at verse 19 in John chapter 17. To point it out as we close, verse 19, it sums up this passage really well. It's a wonderful little verse. The Lord says, for their sakes I sanctify myself. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We were thinking that a little bit earlier about the disciples being set apart through the Word. And we are to be set apart through the Word too. There's the Lord, He's saying, for their sakes I sanctify myself. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the Lord, He set Himself apart to go to do that great work which He came to do. Think of that verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. That He went obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Father commissioned the Son to go and redeem a people, to deliver His people from their sins. And He lived that perfect life. And He was that perfect sacrifice which could only be sacrificed to bear away the sins of His people. Isn't that a wonderful thing that the Lord set Himself apart? He was perfect. He was able to do that work which nobody else could do. We're not able to work our way to heaven, but the Lord has done the work. And I trust that you'll reach out in faith tonight before the Lord. I trust that the Holy Spirit gives you faith to believe, but come to the Word of God obediently. I trust you'll obey. Obey the command that God has given in His Word. Follow the leading of the Lord. But repent if you're not saved. Look to the Lord. Ask Him for forgiveness. And He will give it to you. He is faithful. He is just. He will forgive you of your sins. So I leave that challenge with you tonight. I trust the Lord blesses His word. Thank you.
Perhaps just closing a word of prayer and we'll give some thanks. You are welcome to stay with us for some refreshments and have a time of fellowship, and we'll explain that after we just close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for answer to prayer, even for our youth rally tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you are a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. We thank you, God, for speaking to us through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, Father, we just pray that even this beautiful evening as we finish our youth rally, we pray that, O God, you will cause our thoughts and our hearts to go out after thee. That, Father, indeed, as we face a new week, that we will face that challenge with the burning desire to glorify God in every aspect of our lives. We pray for those tonight who are here who may not be Christians, who are not saved. Father, we ask that, O God, you will give that spiritual sight to see their need of Jesus Christ, and indeed to follow after God, to be drawn out by the Holy Spirit, and indeed to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. Lord, accept our thanks for the good things that are provided for us tonight. We thank you for the generosity of your people who have supplied them. Father, we pray that, O God, we'll be very thankful that we have these temporal mercies, and help us to always be in memory of those across the world in need and want at this time. And Lord, as then we separate the one from the other and travel home, again, Father, we would pray for your hand of protection. Indeed, Lord, your hand of instruction and care, Lord, to be on each of your children as you leave here tonight and travel home in the roads. We pray for thy protection. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name, and indeed for his sake and his glory alone. Amen.